Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you today? Everybody good? You had your lunch? You have not had your lunch? One. So, let me see. Is there anyone new with us today? Anyone who is here for the first time for SGC? One, first time for you as well, at least, yeah, yes, okay, so introduce yourself, tell us your name.
Hi everyone, my name is Vanessa, I'm still a student in NTU.
And you're wearing the Hot Society t-shirt, is that?
Oh, so I stepped out on August.
So what role are you playing? You must introduce yourself, Mark.
I am currently the president of NTU Buddhist Society.
How? President of NTU Buddhist Society. Welcome.
Thank you.
So if you have any children, niece or nephew who is studying in NTU, and by NTU I don't mean Nanyang Tech. I mean Nanyang Technological University. I don't mean the National Taiwan. You can point them to Vanessa, join the Buddhist Society. NUS also has a Buddhist Society. He's an alumni. Zoping is an alumni there. Yeah. Okay, next who?
Lai Chuan from NGSO.
Yes. Welcome. Are you still studying there?
Yeah, going year 3.
Yeah, going year 3,
yeah.
What course are you in?
Chemical engineering.
Chemical. Smart. Vanessa, leh?
Science.
Oh, also smart. Why, why do you want so smart? By the way, I'm also from NTU. how many more years to go?
2 more years for me and 1 more year for me.
Soon. So study hard, chemical and
Material science.
Material science is every time I hear it, I must say it's a hot faculty. Especially in the battery industry. Are you going to do battery? So are you doing the nanotube, carbon nanotube, whatever?
For
EVs. Well done. So, 全靠你了. Who else is here for the first time? Anyone else? The rest all introduced before. All introduced. Okay. How about the one behind? I think it's a baby nut. No, don't ask you. You want to have introduce. Liying. How do you get to know about this group?
Actually, I went to a Buddhist library a few times.
Okay. Welcome. Let me see. Is AC here? AC? don't know whether I got the name right, but there was this person, Li Ying Sam, or Sam Li Ying. Not you, right? Are you Li Ying Sam? Oh, so you are the one. Then you sit further up, because you have a lot of questions to ask. There are empty seats. Today, you get a free upgrade. Free upgrade to business class, right?
Okay, we are the first one.
Yeah. Not to be shy, okay? Come. So you are a real person. Yeah, because I receive queries from different platforms, some on Facebook, some on some of them just text me out of the blue. Then this so your name is Li Ying, so she texts me. Then, but you sign up as AC.
I forget that I
forgot your name?
I forget that my name was on the
On your email itself is Li Ying Sam. Sam Li Ying. So you put a pseudonym AC.
Yeah.
So what does AC stand for?
Well, that was quite a long time ago. That used to be my baptismal name when I was in Christianity. When I was in Christianity.
Oh, so are you still in Christianity?
No, I left quite a long time ago. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was sharing in the morning, because as I told you about the morning sitting, then the sharing in the morning, right? Then there's also the Sunday program. So I was sharing in the group, I said, based on the correspondence, I said, this person is quite interesting. Don't know whether Christian or not. but it's okay. Yeah, well, we welcome anyone to learn Dharma. So welcome. So what are you now? Are you Buddhist now?
No, I'm still seeking.
Still seeking, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, seeking. Not leaving, seeking. Yeah, okay. So at the end of the session, towards the second half, then we'll have some time for Q&A. Okay. Today's theme is on funeral. Yeah. Ask Sifu anything. Yeah. Of course, you can ask anything. I may not be able to answer everything. So today's topic, funeral. Somebody else also asked me some questions. Yeah, but let's look at the topic first. Today's topic, what should we do at a funeral, Buddhist funeral? How best can we help the departed? How should we handle the remains? Yeah. So these are just some questions that are common regarding Buddhist funeral. Yeah. I've ever had students ask me this question as well. And my reply is often no reply, reply. Yeah. My reply was, actually, when you look at the suttas, the Buddha never stipulate any particular format for funerals. Yeah. But in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, inside the Digha Nikaya, you should be familiar. Yeah, you should be familiar by now, right? Because from your email, it's quite detailed.
Just started reading like days ago.
Just a few weeks ago. So are you working currently?
Yes, I'm
really
just that there was a lot of
people, so I started to read it. Yeah. Oh, well, because your questions are many and quite detailed. Not bad. So in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta in the Digha Nikaya, there was one place where the Buddha mentioned about something related to funeral. Because he had declared that he's going to pass away in a few months' time. Then, as he journeyed from places to places, then he gave summaries of his teachings. Then at some point in time, Venerable Ananda asked the Buddha what to do with his remains. To which the Buddha told him, the you know, leave that to the lay people. Yeah, you go and meditate. Yeah. Then he described how the body of the Tathagata should be wrapped in layers of cloth, and then with incense and so on and so forth, and then to be cremated. Then after that, the rig remains. He mentioned the Buddha, the wheel turning monarch, the disciple of the Buddha, and if I don't recall wrongly, maybe the like Arahant, because in the Buddhist custom, usually only Arahant, then they have the kind of elaborate setup. So other than that, scantily any description. Yeah. Perhaps the interesting thing is because it's not strictly stipulated, so you find that in Chinese Mahayana Buddhist tradition, then you have the Chinese style kind of Buddhist funeral. If you go to a 10 Theravadan style, then they have Theravadan style kind of funeral. Yeah, usually at the Banarasati, yeah, which is a sutta, which is on the reflection of the impermanence of life. Then usually recite the 12 links of dependent origination. Then also recite a few other verses. It's a whole set, which is quite standardized in a way. Yeah. Recite on the reflection on the three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Oh. So, some who practice the, sometimes they recite the sutta on permanence, especially if it's a Chinese group but practice Theravada, then they recite Wu Chang Jing. Yeah. If it's Chinese Mahayana tradition, then they usually recite a series of different sutras, namely, most well known, the Amitabha Sutra, Pure Land Sutra. Then, in some cases, they may invite the venerables to also further recite, let's say, Yi Chang Jing, the Earth Store Bodhisattva Sutra. Then, sometimes recite the Jing Gang Jing, and what else? Yao Shi Jing, things like that, such as these sutras. What we see from the Tathagata canon is there's no strict stipulation. And similarly, if you look at the Tibetan tradition, I'm just talking about the prevalent traditions in Singapore. Yeah. If you follow, let's say, some other schools from other countries, then they may have slight variance. What we can say is that by and large, in all the different traditions, there's a certain practice to do some chanting. And the chanting is somewhat related to the passing of the person. Yeah. In the case of Amitabha Sutra, strictly speaking, there's a, take this opportunity to clear up some misconception. Sometimes people have a very denigrating term for Mi Tuo Jing. Yeah, they call it a Siren Jing. The Dead Person Sutra. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't look down here. I should look there. I look there, then you look like I'm looking at you, right? So this is an illusion. Yeah. Just like now I'm looking at you. You think I'm looking at you? Actually, I'm not looking at you. So, yeah, there is. Have you heard of this? Yes, no? Some of you maybe never heard of. But in the Buddhist circle, sometimes people have this denigrating term. And the reason is because somehow, at some point, the Amitabha Sutra is the preferred choice of sutra to be recited. Yeah. And so at funeral procession, then you hear them play the speaker. Amitabha. So sometimes in the HDB block, then you hear long time ago, the Chinese funeral is tiang dong tiang tiang tiang. So that's the Chinese traditional one, more Taoist type. Yeah. But strictly speaking, if you go and ask Taoist priests, they say, that has nothing to do with us. Yeah. A lot of that is actually more Chinese custom. A lot of that is Chinese custom. So my teacher, Sang Miao Xia Jing Lao He Sang, from what I heard from the seniors, and also what I experienced when I was in US, we don't actively engage or conduct funeral services. In part because we live in the middle of the mountain. Yeah. I think we can count the number of Chinese in our state. Yeah. Mainly Hispanic, yeah, Hispanic Americans. We barely see any black or pure white also, mostly Hispanic, yeah. Much less Chinese. The few Chinese are all those who open Chinese restaurants. Not to be racist, but it's a fact. And most of our disciples are not in our state. They are mostly in California, Texas, Arizona, or Phoenix. Yeah, or Phoenix, Arizona, or Texas, rather. When I was there for about the 3 to 4 years, never ever attended any funeral services, never did any funeral services. So only funeral services that I heard about my teacher conducting is the passing of an elderly, can say ama, who has been supporting the center, the monastery, for since the beginning days. Yeah. And it is said that when my teacher heard of her passing, all he did was bring a few disciples, go down to the funeral, recited Heart Sutra, and then dedication, then go off. No elaborate ritual, no 3 days of service, no. Just go there, chant Heart Sutra, then go off. Yeah. So when sometimes I'm invited, usually students, family. If it's a student himself, they cannot invite me because they pass away. Yeah, that'll be the day. One day, that in a day that one student suddenly come into my house. Hey, do you come in? Oh, so I already passed away. Oh, okay. Then how? Oh, that'll be interesting. Yeah. Look forward to that day. One day, I give Dharma talk, then I tell you, that day, you know that who passed away, right? He came to visit me, asked me to do a service. But I did have a student who asked me before she passed away, not after. So, I will go there and do a simple service. I'll recite the Heart Sutra, and then the Great Compassionate Mantra. But me being me, the chanting is actually the short part. Yeah. Before I do the chanting, I'll do a bit of sharing with them. Yeah, I'll share with them the purpose of doing these services. Yeah, what does it entail? What does it mean? The kind of mindset we should have. Yeah. If you look at the Noble Eightfold Path, the practice starts with right view. Right view. So, whatever practice you do, you must start with the right mindset. The right view is basically your mindset. Yeah. If you do it with a wrong mindset, then, unfortunately, sometimes you may appear outwardly to be doing Dharma activities, Dharma practices. But if you do it with wrong intention, wrong mindset, then actually it's detrimental. So, for example, we just look at the simplest practice. Okay, simplest practice. Charity, giving, right? Giving is good, right? But imagine now a person gives to show off. It's also giving, but you give because your friend or your friend donated $10. So you donate $20. So long time ago, at some of the charity event, then some temples, they raise fund their function, right? So I heard some venerables commenting, not so good to have auctions. Because sometimes auction, then becomes like a bidding war, then trying to outbid each other. So the whole mood, the whole atmosphere is a bit, But the intent is not a bad thing. Raise funds to support the center so that they can continue doing Dharma work. Yeah. But that aside. Important to have the right intent, the right mindset. And that's why I will spend a much larger amount of time. Yeah, the actual chanting may be about 15 minutes. Yeah. I'll spend a lot more time to explain to the family. Yeah, take the opportunity to let them know what they are doing, why they are doing it. Yeah. Especially because many times, like let's say a student may invite me to do the service, a student may attend the class, but the family may or may not have attended Dharma classes or have actually learned about what the Dharma teachings is about. And so for them, they may have certain preconception or misconception about the rites and rituals. To begin with, to think that it's rites and rituals, that's a misnomer. Yeah. In Buddhism, actually no rituals. Whatever so-called forms that we call rituals were adopted from the different localities. Like Chinese, we adopted a lot from the Chinese customs. Yeah, Chinese customs. For example, when you're about to start the prayers, right? Then some families will say, oh, Sifu, we need to lay the mat on them. Yeah, do we need to lay the mat? Then I told them, I said, up to you. Next time, up to me. I'm supposed to lay the mat. I said, yeah, you know why I lay the mat? So that it's clean, man. You're going to sit down there. Of course, if you go and ask some elders, they will say, no, the pantang one, it's not like this, like that. But actually, Chinese, a lot of the customs we do and taboos and so on, started out with very practical reasons. Chinese are very practical people. Think about it, Chinese are so practical that if ancestors cannot bless them, they don't pray to their ancestors. But you think about it, we pray to ancestors, what? Pray for them to bless us. Huh? Then what? Memorial. Bless us, don't bless us, we pray for us. Chinese are very practical people. But don't hear from me, I'm Singaporean. I heard from this fellow Chinese monk. I don't say who. But I learned a lot of things from them, you know, when I was in the monastery. One of them told me, Chinese are very practical. When it suits our needs, we worship it. But we are still in control. For example, dragon, right? Chinese culture, dragon is very held in high esteem, right? So when it serves our purpose, we say, oh, this is very grand, this is very lofty. But when I like it, I'm king, I carve you on the ground, I can step over you. Chinese attitude. But doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but this is just Chinese culture. So I told them, a lot of this actually has to do with hygiene practices. Like traditionally, you go for funeral, then after that, they give you the red string tie around your finger, right? And then when you go back, you must wash your hand, wash your leg. Hey, sounds familiar, huh? COVID-19, you know, go back home, must wash hand, wash leg. Yeah, because last time, when people died, they don't know why they died. So, when they start to see that, after visiting funeral, and if they don't clean themselves up, yeah, other people also fall sick. Yeah, a lot of these practices came about because of that, you know. But by now, we do this just as a custom, like bantang, you must wash. Wash them for lucky. No, it's just for pure hygiene. A lot of these are actually very practical practices. Yeah. So, mostly put the then do what?
Oh, just wash off one body.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe that one's antiseptic or what? Yeah, even when we do house blessing, right? Then they usually use the yuzi, right? Nowadays, I tell them, just get any flower. You don't have flower, then use henna. I heard of some venerables, they take the, you know, the sprinkler. Yeah. How many of you went to Gong Ming San for Sangpu Yipai? When you come to the end, they hold something. Right? And in the Thai tradition, they use the thing and then yeah, they're very powerful. One shot, boom, wow, 10 meters down the line. Yeah. But that thing you buy from market, you use it to clean the floor. Right? So up to you to use it. Up to you to use it. So I usually spend time to explain both the sutra that we are going to recite and also some of the customs so that they have some clarity. Otherwise, the family already lost a loved one. And then there's all the heaviness of taboo lah, customs, tradition, this one cannot like that. Oh, so stressed, you know. Not so stressed. And the funny thing is that sometimes Chinese, we like to do something else. After the family pass away, then one give them money. Before pass away, don't give them money. So pass away, then how to give them money? Zi kim zua, right? Right? Fo, yeah, different style of ruling. Nowadays, simpler. All just fo, roll, chuk. Yeah? Next time, just burn credit card. Don't have to. Just one card. The platinum card. Paper one, not the actual plastic one. Just burn one card, then lifelong membership. Okay. Whatever you want house, go and order yourself. Go talk about it. Yeah, Chinese like to burn a lot of things. Luckily, do you know that the burning practice is a good thing? Because before that, they bury things. The rich, you don't know. You know that what the first emperor bury live people, no, actually bury no. So if you think about it, burning paper figures better than burying or burning actual people, right? But today we think, oh yeah, this is a bad practice. Actually, luckily we start burning paper, no. Otherwise you're burying actual people, no. Why do you think there are tomb raiders? Not the game tomb raider. Actual tomb raiders. Because Chinese tomb, actually not just Chinese, in many civilizations, we like to bury all the treasures in the tomb. Not just Egyptians, Western also. Yeah. Question is whether they have enough to bury. And in a way, it's to show off, I have so much money spared, bury. You know? So the thing about it, all the resources buried. Yeah, imagine next time Sifu pass away, then you bury computer. Computers can still be used, I can give away, why bury for? Yeah. But the sad thing is, in the ancient past, servants, maybe those who are really children, peizang, you know, that's why there's this term peizang. Not joking, or not legend, it's really happening last time. So when they switch to burning, it's actually an improvement. But now maybe we should totally improve. We should ask ourselves why we do it. Why are we doing it? To express our piety towards our family. Yeah, our care and concern. But perhaps better to show before they die. Right? But for we until they die, then burn big house. Before that, ask this brother, move to your house, stay in my house 3 months, really move to your house. They call this play ping pong, you know, or pinball. Yeah, pass the mother, pass the father, pass around. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, 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 dong. Yeah. Then until die, then we must have a big house. Multi-story house, but really pointless. Not pointless. There was once a family, a student invited me, and in the car, my student told me, Sifu, later on, can you talk to my mother and auntie? Yeah, burning a lot of those incense paper. As I know, this is not a Buddhist practice. And furthermore, damage the environment. We should stop all this, right? Yeah. So Sifu, later you can talk to them. Can you talk to them, please? Okay, let us see how. So when I arrived, sure enough, the mother, the auntie, all sit at a table, folding. So after I paid respect to the father, they went to the table, and they greeted me, Sifu, and ask them, oh, Ji Kim Zuo, huh? Then they look a bit awkward. Ah, serious. Then I sat down and said, Ji Kim Zuo, huh? Then they, my student got a shock. Ask this sifu, come and advise my mom not to Ji Kim Zuo. Then this sifu said, Ji Kim Zuo, huh? Now this is a matter of fact. This is happening, isn't it? Yeah. Ask yourself, just nice, indeed, you were a Christian last time. Huh? So, okay, maybe I don't call you, I've already called a few times. Were your friends, were they watch this video then? Huh? They don't know. So, like your friends last time.
Why did you call all of them?
Cut off with your plan. Why you cut off?
Actually, it's a long story.
A long story? Okay.
Yeah, actually.
I heard long stories. Okay. Don't tell now. Later. Yeah. Have you heard? Some, not all, some of them are quite fervent, you know. So if they themselves are, I don't mean to say that all Christians are. So whoever watching this, don't go and complain police, okay? I'm just stating as a fact that some. Okay, some, they are so fervent about it. When they have, let's say their grandma or their parents pass away and their family members have the traditional ceremony, well, then they kick up a big fuss. And some of them even like, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, I don't burn joystick. To me, okay, your choice. I mean, that's your father. But you don't have to pay respect in the way he wants. That's your choice. But I have heard and seen cases where they go and smash the altar, things like that.
That's quite extreme. Yeah, yeah. Something I don't agree with that. I come across people with that kind of aspects where I kind of
Yes. Yeah, so an important point. So these are the extremists. Okay, extremists. So my point in bringing this up is not to bash them up, is that we shouldn't do the same thing. Just because we don't burn incense paper, we shouldn't go there. Hey, yeah, you don't burn incense. We are doing. If we do that, we are the same, isn't it? So if we frown upon people, you know, coming in to criticize or like being disrespectful to our practices, when we look at other people's practices, yes, we don't practice it, but we should be respectful. So that's why when I sat down, the first thing I told them, take it for whole, but I qualify. I say, why is it good? Because you want to do something for your late husband. I said, yes, you know. Right? You think people are stupid? Sit down there, nothing to do. Then I burn them ashes, then you have to throw away. You think people are stupid? Not stupid. Yeah, it's desperate. Right? Your family member passed away. You really don't know what else you can do. So the only thing you have heard of as a Chinese is full paper money, but hopefully lah. You don't know whether you transmit Western Union or what, whether they can receive. You know, so you burn money. Yeah. So I told them, it's good that you want to do something for them. Yeah. But do you know that there's different ways of folding paper money? They didn't fold, see? Well, then they got curious. Then they want to listen. If I sit down and say, ayah, this came to a ko. Then they bang. They just shut off their ear. But because I start off, then they want to listen. So I told them, if while folding the paper money, you chit chat, you gossip, you talk about that auntie la, you talk about that uncle la, that grandpa, this and that, you gossip about people, you tell tales. Oh, then actually you're causing demerit in his name. Because of him, you fall. Because of doing this, then you chit-chat, then you tell tales. So, indirectly implicate him. Although his fault is almost none. But you are doing all this, not so good. So I told them, instead, while you are falling, each time you fall, if you recite Buddha's name, then there's a bit of merit. Which is true, right? Regardless of what you are doing, you can recite Buddha's name, right? When you are washing the floor, you can also recite Buddha's name, right? So why not when you are folding the paper money? So I told them, recite while folding, Then at the end of it, don't just walk off, go and have your dinner. Each time you finish one set, then you do dedication. This way you can benefit them. Then that's more wholesome, that's better. Then they, oh, okay. Then I understand, you know how to accept. Then I teach them. And then there's opportunity for them to learn something. Cannot expect everybody, Akong Ama, to sit down and immediately, like, I teach you emptiness. Difficult. Okay. So besides that, one thing that I started doing for families is after doing the chanting, then I bring them to the inner part, which is where the family member is resting. Yeah? And then I will guide the family to do a mutual repentance. Mutual repentance. So this practice is I'm basing it on the practice that the monastic do. For monastics, when we visit a center, let's say for 3 months, 6 months, a year, or two, or so on, and so on. When we leave the place, we will do repentance to the community. Yeah. Similarly, when we leave, they will also do repentance to us. Yeah. Why do we do that? It is a recognition that we are not formless. We are not enlightened. So intentionally or unintentionally, we may act through body, speech, and mind in ways that harm or hurt others. Maybe not directly breaching any particular precepts, but it may maybe inconvenience others, maybe not to others' liking, yeah? But we are not aware. So we take this opportunity to make amends to them. Similarly, maybe they do something that we are not happy with. So before we leave, we make amends mutually. Of course, in the community, usually, as and when we know, we try to make amends first. We don't wait until, anyway, I'm not leaving yet. See how long? When you leave, then I say sorry. You don't have to be like that, right? But in the case of a family departing, then we take this opportunity not to guide the family to do mutual repentance. Yeah. I've received comments from different families, yeah, that sometimes this is something that we forget. Yeah. Sometimes we take for granted our family. We friends, maybe when we do something that annoy our family, immediately we try to say sorry. But sometimes with family, because we are too close, then why must I say sorry? We forget. And then one day, the person passed away. Too late. Yeah. But sometimes it's when we are very young, and then we are naughty, mischievous. Yeah. And how many of you, when you are young, primary school, or even younger, or maybe secondary school, how many times have we apologized to our parents? Barely. Yeah. Apologize for what? I really get keen, man. Our traditional relationship between parent and child is wrong, gonna keen. Yeah. Seldom required to say sorry. Say sorry for us. Keen you first. So in the end, we never quite learn to say sorry, you know. Yeah. I think this is a practice that maybe we should do it even before anyone passes away. Before anyone passes away. That's why in the morning sitting, we have this practice, right? If you have done any disservice, try to make amends, apologize for it. But this is what I do for some, for the families, towards the end of the service. And after that, then I'll bring them out with some chanting, then we do dedication. So other than that, sometimes students will ask me about the tablets, not tablet, but the computer tablets, Surface or whatnot. No, but you know, the ancestral tablet. So Chinese custom, quite interesting. There's a tablet, and then there's the ashes. Do you know why there's these two things? From what I know, the tablet traditionally is in the ancestral shrine. Because traditionally Chinese, we have the ancestral temple. And only those of this family can have the tablet inside that temple. Cannot anyone, this temple quite nice, can I put it inside? How much is it? You dang ku ku. You want to pay, you cannot put it inside. Traditional Chinese, to take. Cannot anyhow want to put, you want to put. But nowadays, I think not so much. In Singapore, especially, not so much. You just put in whatever temple you want. Then what about the ashes? Traditionally, Chinese don't burn our body. We have a tomb, and that's why there's the sao mu, right? Because we are filial, but not filial enough to go and sweep every day. So at least once a year, we be filial, go and sweep, clean up, pull the wild weed, de-weed the place, then put some flowers there, then pay the caretaker, somebody, hopefully the caretaker remember to sweep every day. But every time you go there, it's filled with weeds. So once a year, be filial. Then someone in Southeast Asia, March period, do you know the verses? What Qing means Yu Fen Fen, right? Then you know the what? What is that singer? The long time singer? San Yue Li De Xiao Yu. Liu Wen Zhen. Singapore no Xiao Yu one. Either Da Yu or Da Da Yu. Yeah? Or either that or Da Tai Yang. So Singapore during the Qing Ming period, when we go and Xiao Mu, related funeral, very hot. Usually very hot. So you go there. Then nowadays, a lot of the old tombs are being exhumed. Right? Not nowadays, since 80s. A lot of the tombs were exhumed, and gradually we all accepted to put it into niches. So as a result, now we have two things. One is a niche, one is a tablet. So some students ask me, is it okay to just scatter the ashes in the ocean? Then there are some people, some students ask, hey, Sifu, if you do that, will it become jikuya? Become the water ghost. Then how about if you scatter into the sky, become sky ghost, flying ghost? hopefully, by the time you get the ashes, you should be reborn already. Don't be ashes. You think about it, ashes and this body, same or not? Not the same. Although after burning become ashes, don't continue to be attached to that. Then in that case, some students ask, in that case, so is it okay to just scatter? Scatter in the ocean, that my children, they don't have to have this burden. Think about it. Why is it that parents nowadays are afraid of giving their children this kind of burden? Pay respect to your parents is considered a burden. Do you all think it's a burden? Once a year. Not asking you to pray every day also. Once a year. Maybe twice. Unless your father, mother, the death anniversary coincide with Qingming or close enough, one time together. Otherwise, pray twice a year. Qingming once, then anniversary once. Okay or not? So why is it a burden? I think it's because it reflects on the state of family relations, That if the parent feel to the point that it will be a burden for my children, either the relation is not so good, so they don't have much hopes that the child will bother to go and do prayers, or they don't think it's necessary. Do you think it's necessary to have the niche, the template? Okay, give your answer, don't have to guess. Okay. In the sutra, no such mention. you can you find any sutra? Also, to Xian Pai Wei Jing. I don't know of such a sutra. No such a practice. But I encourage people to do it. Why? Because if you have a tablet and you take this opportunity to educate them on filial piety, on gratitude, yeah, and while they go to the temple, they may, you never know, maybe some of them go to the temple and they happen to see a poster, then they see Han Sutra. Then you see the Little Dharma Loss. Yes, this one quite interesting. Then maybe they will attend Dharma Talk. Maybe not mine, just example. Okay. So actually, for many temples, many monasteries, this is our hope. That when you put the tablet in the temple, your descendants will have a chance to, or a reason, an excuse for that. The reason, at least once or twice a year, maybe Vesak Day, three times, at most three times, to come to the temple. And maybe maybe your children, they go for the whole life, never learn anything. But because become accustomed, so they also bring their children. And maybe the children have the wholesome roots. Then the children go, then the whole children say, hey, go and attend. So you notice sometimes parents are not really into Buddhism, but children are. As long as children are, then the next generation skip one generation. Like diabetes, you know, skip one generation. Yeah. Buddhism, we don't look at 3 to 5 year the kind of project planning. We look at lives, generations. Over 10 generations, if just one generation benefit, then it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile. So, 长远性, look long term. So I encourage students to have niches, but must do it with the right mindset. As much as you can. I don't say that my ama do it with a fully right mindset also. I'm sure there's some mixture of Taoist thinking, Chinese custom, Buddhist practices, mixture. Yeah. But because of my ama, one word, Cui Zamgo by Baihood. You know, first and the 15th, come and pray. So all the daughter-in-laws, Baihood, come. And then ama say, bring your children. Okay. Because last time, not full day session, but morning, afternoon. So if you are afternoon session, you don't have to go because prayers are in the morning. So morning go. Because I remember last time, it's not on weekends. Yeah, last time, all the prayers follow 1st and the 15th. Now so seen a weekend, right? People, I ask, who? Weekend or sometimes I'm not free. I tell. Sometimes I think about it. Last time, 1st and the 15th, sometimes Tuesday. Yeah, but partly because last time, mother is a housewife, right? And then children, afternoon class. So morning, go to the temple. Then afternoon, go to school. Yeah, last time is like that. Yeah, after the prayers, have lunch, then go to school. Sometimes, yeah, it's not always on weekends. And because of that, so just go long. Go, back in Chabihut, here until we come back. After this, nobody there will be Chabihut. I forgot to tell you that Scully's up there some more. You get hooked, you know. So, I think funerals are a way for family members to grieve. Make sense of the loss of that loved one. Yeah. And in this process, the prayers can help them on an emotional level to have some quality and peace. And on a more deeper level, if we can share with them some teachings, that they can resonate with and help them have a clearer understanding. Then it can help them too. At this juncture, I'd like to answer a few questions. It's 3 o'clock from 2 to 3. Nowadays, I mean not bad. Once in a while, leave in. Don't get your soapbox high. This is once in a while. Once in a while, I choose to 3 o'clock, then I have time for Q&A. Usually, 3:35, still talking about the meeting topic. We haven't finished. Then have to cover the next month. So, there was a student who asked this question. Then after that, Cadell has a question. First, he posted on the volunteer chat. Then I didn't know that it was for me. So, just now in the car, he reminded me. So, I told him, ask during the class. Okay, so this is from Serene. Then after that, Lee can ask some questions. Yeah, because you wrote a lot of things. Today I saw some more questions. So I don't know which one you want to ask. You can start thinking, okay? Can. So, greetings, Sifu. Hope you have been holding up well and safe. Yes, Serene, I've been holding up well and safe. 2 jabs. Recently, I've been contemplating how to help animals that are passing on or have passed on. So, funeral is not just about human beings. Because Singaporeans, I like to think that it's a beautiful thing that we have the capacity to care for animals to the extent of not like, oh, I'm the owner, this one is my pet. No, doggy, you're my pet. But many families that I know, my students who have pets, they treat them really like family, you know. Yeah. So when the dog or the cat pass away, it is for them. Yeah, for them, it is really like losing a loved one. Not like it is losing a loved one for them. So when a human passes on or is dying, there are rites and rituals. But it appears not to be the case for animals. Maybe I'm just unaware or they don't exist right now, even though they too are sentient beings. May I consult Sifu, what can a layman like me do to help animals in the final stages of their lives? Yeah. So just before passing, moment of passing, after passing, pre-cremation, post-cremation. Yeah. I understand, for example, there are 7-day prayers, 49 days, 100 days for humans. Not sure if applicable though for animals. I just hope to do my part to give rise to conditions where the deceased animals may experience a better passing and pray for a better rebirth for them. And if chanting is one of the ways, what sutra mantra would it be? I hope I'm making sense to you, Shifu, and I'd appreciate if you could enlighten me, maybe with a step-by-step SOP. With a smiley face. So I convey the full message. Okay. So thank you, Shifu, for your time and stay safe. Sincerely, Serene, with a heart. Okay, so I have been invited to conduct some prayers before the cremation and after the cremation. Yeah. Where's that place? There's actually a place for pets to be cremated. Yeah, I didn't know before that. Then my student told me, and then we drove there. And I was like, oh, so there's such a place. But the scale is much smaller because the size and the duration is different also. Human cremation takes quite a few hours. Yeah. Pets usually, I think, much shorter. Yeah. So I don't make a huge distinction between human or animal. Not doesn't mean I look at human as animal, but all sentient beings. I agree with Serene, all sentient beings. Yeah. But if you were to go to, let's say, temples and ask whether you can put a tablet, they'll say yes. And then they ask what name, then it's like, let's say, like, Lucky. Lucky. What's the surname? No surname. a dog cannot. Everything okay up to the name, then lucky. Or cannot. So some people have, some may think, how come Buddhism is supposed to be compassionate? How come when it comes to this, discriminating? So I don't own a temple. I currently don't have one temple. Y'all want to give a temple? Y'all know of any temple, bacon, no but no monk there, let me know. But these days I tend to ask myself, what could be the possible reasons? Yeah, what could be the possible reasons? And this is what I think may be the reason. First of all, there is the case of the volunteers. Because usually when you go there, you are dealing with volunteers first. The volunteers never ever handled writing the registration for an animal. So default, cannot. Easiest answer, ma. Don't have to go and ask Sifu, ma. Because if you ask Sifu, get scolded, ma. So don't ask, don't get scolded. Ask, get scolded. So cannot. Default, just say cannot. Hopefully you just go away. So what if you ask Sifu? Will Sifu say, okay, I don't know. But I suspect in some centers, they may say no simply because there's no precedence. Why? Because traditionally, like Chinese, me Chinese, there's a famous idiom, right? Gua yang tou mai gou rou. So traditionally, don't look at me like, hey, Sifu, how can you? No, it's a matter of fact. Traditionally, this saying, Gua yang tou mai gou rou, doesn't mean that Chinese was against eating dog meat. It's just saying that you're using inferior meat to sell as a higher price meat. It's because people do eat dog meat prevalently. Yeah. Why? Because since ancient times, war, you think when if the whole country is fighting half the time, you think you have the luxury of having a proper farmer. Nowadays we still complain, this farm is not organic, that farm not humane, never let them have free rein, not the free. Of course, if you ask me, ideally, all be vegetarian. That solves all the problem. What I'm trying to say is that because we have a legacy of this, we don't really have the culture of having so-called pets. Yeah. So as a result, most temples don't have such a precedence. All it takes is one or two temples, especially major one, to allow that. Then becomes a more accepted concept. Then, okay. Like, for example, I also have some students ask me about abortion cases. Yeah. So then, how about the fetus? Then can they go for cremation and things like that? Yeah. Or in some cases, it may be too early, so there's no remains to cremate. Yeah. So then, can they put a tablet? Some temples, no. Some temples, yes. Yeah. There's no hard and fast rule. There's no sutra that say, dogs cannot have them. As I said, even humans, there's no stipulation about having tablets. So it's all about convention. So for me, I think good for us to also understand the angle from temple's point of view. Imagine if you are one of the committee members in a temple. It's no long, it's when you're in charge of that temple, it's not your own kapitu, not your own business, not your own family, you want to do whatever. Tomorrow, we pray with chocolate. Have you ever seen any prayer with chocolate one? Nugget dust, ice cream? No, ma. Why? Because traditionally, never do this. Right? So, when you are in a committee, or you are the volunteers, or even if you are Sangha, you think Sangha can just decide everything? Cannot. Why? Because the Sangha take over from the Lao-Sang, right? Lao-Sang passed away. All the disciples for how many years, they have a certain expectation of a certain protocol, a certain way of doing things. You cannot just say, now I take over as abbot, then I suka. From today on, we pray, we do offering, we thank and dust. Cannot. What to do? Because you respect the status quo. You respect the arrangement that was laid down as a legacy. So nowadays, when I look at it, sometimes I don't envy those who are managing or, you know, running the temples. It's what Chinese called 吃力不讨好. Because if they change, they may offend the existing devotees. If they don't change, they offend the new devotees. Then how? You so smart, you're kind. Very difficult. So luckily, we don't have temple. Yeah, but precisely because I don't have temple, I feel that I should speak up for them. Yeah, that we should be understanding. So then how? Should we have a tablet? The thing is, today if you go Mandai and try to put a, I don't know whether is it possible, y'all know? Don't know or cannot? Cannot, huh? So why? Because again, by custom. Yeah, because the number of lots already allocated, yeah, for human beings. Then human beings will call you around this. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's practical reasons. So back to the ashes. So just before passing, there's this group of volunteers, devotees. One of them called Karen Key. Yeah, Karen, if you're watching, maybe don't watch. You never watch SGC. By the time you watch, I don't know how many months later. But anyway, her daughter had a dog called Mita. Yeah, so very beautiful process. She said that the dog, towards the last, you know, 1 week or something, then like seemed to know that it's going to pass away. And then towards the final period, they do chanting together with the dog. Yeah. So then the dog slowly start to, you know, become weaker, and then pass away. Sometimes I look at it and I'm thinking, how many human beings have the marriage to pass away like that? Huh? How many? Recently, I just saw, I don't mention which family, but came out in the newspaper. After so many years, then the children suing each other for estate. Sad. Yeah. So sometimes human beings don't worry about the rituals first. When our family members pass away, please, don't spend the time trying to fight over who get what property and this and that. The funeral is not for you. The funeral is for your father, your mother, your grandfather, grandmother, your relatives. Yeah. Respect them, honor them. Yeah. Does it mean after the funeral, then fight it out? Ayo, 凄惨, huh? Yeah. Sometimes I ask them, before that person, like you think about it, right? Before that family member passed away, you're okay also. But just because that person passed away, then now you have an extra, this condo, that bungalow house, then suddenly, if you don't get a piece, you feel like you lose something. This is the, you know, the irony of our human state. Yeah. So for dogs, whether for dogs or for human beings, before passing, better to have a peaceful environment for the one who is passing away. Yeah. Before passing, whoever is in the presence of that person, speak softly, don't speak too loudly. Remind, if the person is lucid, talk to the person, remind the person of the good that the person has done before. Yeah. If you dig deep enough, you definitely can find something that you can complain about anyone. Even the Buddha, people complain about him. The Buddha said, yeah, since there's no one who can go get past without anyone, you know, having something to complain about him. So when someone is going to pass on, leave that alone. Leave all that behind. Remind the person of the kindness the person has rendered you or rendered others. Remind the person of the wholesomeness of the good the person has done. if the person have taken refuge, remind the person you have taken refuge. If the person have taken five precepts, remind that person of the fact that he has abstained from harming others for that long. Oh, then the person can feel, oh, because why is this important? Because sometimes, I can tell you, many people live with regrets in their mind, in their heart. They feel that they have not done enough for their family. They are not good enough. And with this remorse in their heart, they're easy to go the wrong way. So remind them of the goodness that they have done so that they connect with the good karma. Yeah. Of course, some of you may say, hey, but my Hu Hong, I cannot think of anything good. Then how? Maybe have to lower the expectation. Lower the bar a bit, lower until you can say something truthful. Don't say anything untruthful and then cause the person more doubt. Oh, really? Man, I did that. Then at first the person was ready to go. Then you praise the person until Uti Butikawa. You know how can you let Uti Butikawa? Then the person can get more over there. Really? I did all that, man? So for doggy or catty, then you can also talk to the pet. Thank the pet for all the time that they have spent with us, for the love that you have shared and the time you have shared and so on. Yeah. And then if you are Buddhist, of course, you can recite Kui Fa. And then try to encourage your pet to move towards Dharma. So then moment of passing, do some chanting. In the Buddhist community now, we usually have the practice to not touch the body or move the body too drastically within 8 hours. So this in lieu of the concept that if any disturbances should cause the person to, or the being, dog or otherwise, to be maybe agitated, then it may cause the person to have defilements arise and resulting in a not so good rebirth. But I also remind people, in another sutta, the Buddha highlighted that if a person has been connecting with wholesome practices for a long time, then even if the person were to die in an untimely fashion, in an accident, your rebirth is assured. So it's not that, oh, you practice the whole life, wow, so good, then towards the end, before you pass away, then someone comes and say, you know, huh? Then you, but not like that. Yeah. Why? Because the karmic force, karma is about action. So all the actions you have done, that has a much greater momentum, a much greater potential than that, you know? Many times when we think, oh, the person's last moment, that's actually also conditioned by all the past moments. So if you have been having very unwholesome thoughts, or I'm not saying unwholesome thoughts want to kill people, but if you have been always very negative, in a sense, you are resentful, maybe somebody did harm you before, sabo you, or maybe you feel your father unfair, your mother unfair, your husband not fair, your father-in-law, mother-in-law, or everybody unfair to you. You feel that, okay? To me, it's not important whether they were fair or not fair. Important is you think they are unfair. Because that is what shapes your decision. That's what shapes your mind, you know. And if that is the case, do you think that towards the end of your life, everybody is around you and then say nice things to you, do you think you will be settled if you have spent your whole life being resentful? Difficult. Give you aircon room, humidity control, then your moisturizer, air purifier. What scent you want, I'll let you choose. Your mind will still be unsettled because it has been unsettled. Yeah. So to me, it's more important that we learn how to settle our mind here and now, starting from now. Don't wait until... And at the same time, don't consciously, unconsciously become a factor to unsettle other people's minds. So pre-cremation, then we usually do some service chanting, then post-cremation do some chanting. again, the stipulation on within the first 49 days to do daily prayers or every 7 days do a prayer. These are not just arbitrary numbers also. Yeah, there are some basis in some commentaries. Yeah. But again, I want to highlight, do what you are able to do to your ability. Some students say, but Sifu, if I keep temples, I'm quite expensive. Then I tell them, then you chant yourself. Yeah, I'm busy. Then what you want? I'm not saying that you must definitely engage temples or invite venerables to chant. Ask, let you have a chance. You chant yourself. I'm busy. Then how? Yeah. Don't know how to chant. Then chant Amitabha lah. Chant Har Sutra. Don't know how to chant. Go on YouTube. Search lah. Then follow lah. Can lah. Can. You may have seen it. You may have seen it. Yeah, so I think that's about it about all the different things. Also, Serene, if they didn't manage to, you didn't manage to get all the answers, let me know. Okay, then Cadell, your question. I remember, but I want to repeat so they know what is your question. His question is, if we can dedicate merits, then can we dedicate merits, right? How does it work? Yeah, because if you can dedicate merit, then it seems like I do, then you get the results. Then it's not 自作自受, it's 自作他受. Then you all don't practice. Above all, we have SGC. Every day I just lock myself, you all just lock me into the cage with my head here, then you all just feed me food. I just meditate whole day, sit down and meditate. Then you, food, then. Dusty. Hot. Yeah, just meditate. Then you all just have a tablet in front of me that show the name. Then I just, every 1 hour wake up, then not wake up, wasn't sleeping. Open my eyes, then, okay, this 1 past hour dedicate to Marcel. Marcel, be you, be well, happy. Okay, who is next? Vicky, okay, I meditate. If it can be done, as I've mentioned in many classes, if you can simply transfer merits, then Buddha don't have to give 45 years of teaching. Right? He practiced for 3 Asankhya Kalpa, and in the Chinese Mahayana tradition, the Buddha merely did a demo of birth and then practices. Then living a palace, then practice, attain Buddhahood, then set up the turning of the Dharma, then Buddha Sasana, then enter Parinirvana, Nibbana. This is just a demo, a presentation to show you that it can be done. Then when there are conditions, you present again. So what does it mean? That means still a lot of merits to, inexhaustible merit. Then if you can just transfer merits, you should just ask Marcel, what is your account? What is your merit account? Give me the fast code. Then I transfer over. Then you tell Buddha, no, nowadays use PayNow. Transfer merits to me. Then how much you need? Buddha, tomorrow I'm going to go and party. So maybe top up a bit more. Then weekend coming, I'm going to do stupid things. Can you top up some more? So I don't go to hell. Cannot. So then when we do transference of merits, what I've been doing? I was sitting here, Bhante was sitting here, Professor Chandi Chandavi Mala was sitting there. And then there was a retreat. Someone asked a similar question. So I explained and said, you cannot transfer merits. Yeah. Although the term is transference of merits, but if you look at the we recited this Anumodana. Itawata Chahami. It's not transferring merits though. It's inviting beings of various realms to come and rejoice in this wholesome act. And in rejoicing, then may they also partake in the merit. How do they partake? When they rejoice in it, that mental quality of rejoicing in something wholesome, that itself generates merit. So this is the first way we can so-called share merit with others. Cannot transfer. In one class, one of the students asked, hey, how about the Di Zhang Jing? Di Zhang Jing seemed to imply that you can transfer. Well, either this is correct and that is wrong, or this is correct, that is wrong. But teachings cannot but be violating first principles. The first principle here is causality. No matter how Di Zhang Jing talk about expedient means, it cannot violate expedient means. It cannot violate causality. You understand? Yeah. So if you cannot violate that, you must then the verses must be understood as an expedient explanation. Not so direct, oh, you just do this, then transfer the merits. You know? Doesn't work that way. So that's the first one. By inducing merit. You do something good, you do a prayer, dedicate to them, they hear about it. Ah, ayah.